disassembling the lies and reassembling the truth. This is the Jason Verma Show on today's News Talk, TNT.
And you better shut your mouth. Folks, a lot of people don't realize it, but today was one of the appellate court's first hearings regarding the Michigan case. Now, a lot of people think because of the first ruling of the Whitmer kidnapping plot that everybody was exonerated, you know, because of all the FBI assets and federal informants within the system. That is not the case. Unfortunately, we live in not a system of justice via a Justice Department, but we live in a legal system where lawfare is waged against anybody that would dare question the great narrative in place. And I think that so many people out there have this weird view that the court system is like an episode of Law and Order that they binge on with their girlfriend, boyfriend, wife, hubby. You know, that Ice-T is in there in the special victims unit. He's working with the bad guys. You get to face your accusers. There's a lot of bravado. That's not what happens. So let me clue you in on the reality of the situation. So today on my other program, I interviewed Christina Urso, and Christina Urso currently has a film out there called Kidnap and Kill, an FBI Terror Plot. Now, I had previously interviewed her about these cases, and yet another aspect that people do not understand, and they better get it right, okay, is that one of the federal informants, the main assets that really entrapped these gentlemen, not only had a very long and storied criminal career, but he was a child sex offender. Let me repeat that for everybody. This person was a child sex offender. Now, I know there are going to be some people out there, they like the government. They deserve everything they get. That guy should work against them. What they don't realize is the vast majority of these guys, because some of them were veterans, etc., they did run a background check on this guy. And guess what? The FBI has access to databases that they are allowed to change. So when they looked him up, this guy didn't have any criminal convictions with children. This person wanted to be called uncle by the kids that he was hanging with. He couldn't wait to get in the pool with children. And it was only after the fact that any of this was found out. Now, today, although extremely disappointing, each individual only got 10 minutes to speak. That's another thing people don't get. You know, we're not in a system anymore where you get to face your accusers, where there is a time for you to actually present your evidence. Instead, it's a truncated time period, and the state is allowed to present evidence in a manner that should be completely illegal. What do I mean? Well, this informant and others would pose hypothetical questions to the individuals that were arrested. And then they would say things based on some kind of a lunatic idea where, you know, they were in trouble and they would be forced to use their Second Amendment, etc. In court, they did not play the part where they were asked the question and the answer was hypothetical. Instead, they would play small excerpts and then they would go back on the social media of these gentlemen 2 years, 4 years, 6 years, and show a meme, or perhaps show that one of them dared to post a quote from one of the founding fathers, that quote being that the tree of liberty needs to be watered with the blood of tyrants and patriots alike from time to time. You say that, you're a dirty terrorist. You don't quote the founding fathers. So there was some hope today. The judges did ask some of the prosecutors some of the questions, like, wait a minute, why weren't they allowed to show this evidence? Why couldn't they play the full context? But the truth of the matter is, this appeals process could be years down the line. Let me repeat that again. Years down the line. This hearing is now 4 years on from the original incident. Many of these people have spent numerous years now behind bars. And if they're lucky on appeals, maybe they'll be out in 3, 4, 5 years. The ones that have been exonerated, by the way, that want to sue, they can't find lawyers that want to take the case because they don't want to deal with the FBI. That's the actual world we live in. Folks, there's a better world out there, and there's a world that starts tomorrow, the Weekend Truth Festival. If you would like to see one of your, all of your favorite freedom fighters on one stage across one weekend, then listen up. The Weekend Truth Festival will feature speakers such as Katie Hopkins, Kate Chemerani, Dolores Cahill, Matt Letizier, Mark Atwood, David Clues, allegedly Dave Sovereign Pete, and many others. All of this across one weekend on the 3rd, 4th, and 5th of May in Workington near the Lake District in the UK. All you need to do is bring a tent, sleeping bag, and some good vibes, as food stalls, workshops, bushcraft, and amenities will all be provided on site. For more information and how to find out to reserve your place at the festival, please visit weekendtruthfestival.co.uk, weekendtruthfestival.co.uk. It is your last chance. It kicks off tomorrow, so go check it out right now. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we got the headlines with Adam Clark bringing the ruckus. More TNT after this.
Your voice heard here.
The government needs to step up and do its job.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And here we go, folks. On Wednesday, James O'Keefe released hidden camera footage of an undercover journalist's troubling conversation with a Central Intelligence Agency contractor. They're all contractors at this point, who claimed that while former President Donald Trump was in office, the CIA leadership intentionally withheld information from him. Shocker. Presumably because of the seriousness and nature of the allegations, Representative Matt Gaetz from Florida is demanding that this matter needs to be officially investigated. Good luck with all that, my friend. Here with the story, joining me now is TNT News producer Adam Clark, aka Ruckus. What do you got for us today, Adam?
I guess not much, right? Because nothing's going to happen, right? OMG. All right, that's the whole report. Moving on. No, just kidding. Speaking of OMG, that is O'Keefe's media group, where, you know, that's where James O'Keefe went to. What was the name of that? He used to do Project Veritas. Is that correct? Yes.
That is correct. He's the Veritas man.
That's what I thought. Okay. Yeah, that's him. You all know him. The surprise undercover video dude. Well, I haven't seen this new one, but I've been reading the reports and wow. They recently released an explosive undercover footage. It purportedly shows a CIA quote unquote contractor discussing how intelligence agencies conspired to withhold information from then President Donald Trump. O'Keefe said last week, quote, "I have evidence that exposes the CIA and it's on camera. I am working on releasing a story that I believe is the most important of my entire career," end quote. Big words coming from a person such as him, because he's done a lot of big stories in his life. O'Keefe Media Group on Wednesday released part one, exposing the CIA, a project manager working in cyber operations, told OMG's undercover journalist that the director of the CIA would keep information from Trump. The contractor, identified as, oh goodness gracious, I'm not going to get this name right, Amjad Fazizm, is a program manager in cyber operations with a top secret clearance. He is heard in the video alleging that senior officials, including former CIA directors Gina Haspel and Mike Pompeo, made concerted efforts to keep sensitive information from President Trump, labeling him as a quote-unquote Russian asset. You can't make this stuff up. You can check out this recording for yourself, but you can hear Fazizm saying, quote, "The executive staff, we're talking about the director and his subordinates, kept information from him, Trump, because he knew he'd effing disclose it," end quote. So the idea is that they were hiding it from him, afraid that he would disclose the information. Wow, that's probably not good, considering he's a democratically elected leader, supposedly. The video further alleges that the intelligence community used FISA warrants to spy on Trump and his team, and that this surveillance has continued post-presidency. Fazizm claims in the recording, quote, "We monitor everything," end quote. O'Keefe added, quoted the when he posted this on his Twitter, he quoted that the CIA contractor said, quote, "We steal it, information," end quote. "We hack other countries just like that," end quote. Amjad, who states he currently works on the CIA's China Mission Center, not anymore, explains how intel agencies obtain information. He also describes a broken intelligence system where, quote, "We don't share information across agencies," end quote, because the CIA is, quote unquote, very reluctant to share information with the, quote, careless NSA, end quote. Wow. Okay. President Trump was approached by OMG when asked about his reaction to the video. Trump expressed dismay and scorn for Fazizm's actions. He said, quote, "Well, it's shocking to see how stupid somebody can be. If this guy is for real, you want to get rid of him. CIA, Central Intelligence Agency, this is not an intelligent guy to be openly talking to a woman that walks up and starts asking him questions and talking that way. So he may be bragging or showing off to some young lady. I have no idea, but I'd get rid of him real fast. If he's for real, get rid of him," end quote. The CIA has issued a statement vehemently denying accusations that it withheld information from Mr. Trump. The spokesperson also added that the official was dismissed after being exposed in O'Keefe's covert operation. See how that works? Now on to conservative Representative Matt Gaetz, Republican from Florida. He's not wasting any time getting to the bottom of this very serious and disturbing story. Gaetz has already formally called on the Weaponization Subcommittee to immediately launch an investigation into this bombshell report by James O'Keefe's OMG group. I don't know if we're going to see anything happen there, but if these allegations are true, I would suggest that's probably a big deal, Jason. But what say you?
I would say it's a big deal too, but allow me to do my best Leslie Stahl of 60 Minutes. No, Adam, this is TNT radio. We don't know any of these to be facts. No. I mean, let's start with Gina Haspel. You probably don't want someone nicknamed Bloody Gina at the helm of the Central Intelligence Agency. And then just for me, Adam, you don't make the guy that sat up there proudly laughing like a supervillain talking about his time as the head of the Central Intelligence Agency, saying things like, I don't know, we lied, we cheated, we stole, we had entire courses on it. But that's the beauty. And it reminds us of the American experiment. Really. Now, Mike Pompeo, on so many levels, did not deserve to be in that administration, but he didn't have a lot of bravado. He said and did all the right things in public and supported Trump. Everybody better remember that after the election took place, Pompeo was interviewed a couple times, and he basically alluded that they had it in the bag and that they were going to support Trump and Trump was going to be the one reelected. And let me tell you, the people that love the QAnon, so they're like, guess what? Not the guy. Instead, he was a guy that literally put out feelers for a presidential run that would have been spectacularly, epically failure at its highest level. I would say a bigger failure than Mike Big Gay Ice Cream Bloomberg and his attempt to run for president. That would have been the Pompeo experience. The real question is, will anything be done about this? Probably not. Instead, it's going to be labeled fake news on a mass level. I'll tell you again, you know, tales from the road. When I was talking to my friend from high school, she didn't even know what Project Veritas was, bro. They've been around, you know, close to two decades. They don't see these hidden videos. It's not in their social media feed. It's not on MSNBC. It's not on CNN. But yeah, unfortunately, a bunch of sailors out there, because you rarely see a woman in any of these positions running their mouth on a blind date. They can't wait to spill the beans on their black ops, dark operations, whether it be what? within the government, or maybe in a place called Pfizer, where you had that one gentleman, again, trying to impress somebody, talking about directed evolution. And that's another term, you know, I bring that up with the Nort, directed evolution. Huh, that sounds like a new movie. No, it's a term that's openly used by a bunch of these people as they push us into a transhumanist future of not just an Internet of Things, but an Internet of Bodies, as they deny spying on us. But again, Adam, it's pretty obvious they've continued to spy on the Trump administration before, during, and now after. That's just the world we live in. I appreciate the report. We will see you in the second hour. We're going to take a quick break. More TNT after this.
TNT's Chris Smith.
There should be a maintenance of free speech, and we shouldn't have to risk free speech because we are unable to handle someone's criticism or can't handle someone else's news story that happens to be violent. We've long since been desensitized by this stuff. Now, whether that's a good thing, I'm not saying whether it's a good thing. Whether it's a bad thing, I'm not saying that either. It's what we have been used to. But in countries like Australia right now, they are pulling certain news pieces, footage that we would normally see, they're pulling that footage from social media, or they'll fine the social media platforms $785,000 a day.
Chris Smith on today's News Talk, TNT. TNT is an independent global news talk station that does what others only say they do. TNT is a live radio and TV broadcaster that simply tells the truth 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. No one in the world does what we do. Crisscrossing the globe, providing credible news and opinion all day and all night. In 2.5 years, TNT has become a credible and exciting platform with brilliant hosts and staff. It's a critical time, and we must continue to call out the misinformation and propaganda from mainstream media and their powerful sponsors. We're now appealing to our many friends and supporters around the world to go to tntradio.live and make a small donation to TNT while we seek the right investors to continue our important mission. TNTRadio.live.
Online.
Streaming.
Be a part of the conversation.
I stream it all at work, and I stream it to my phone and listen to it wherever I go.
TNT.
We are now joined by Kriston T. Harris. He is here to bring us, well, The Rundown Live, and you can watch him on The Rundown Live. My man, you sent me an interesting video. It's from about 6 years ago, but it is about human brain interfaces or brain computer interfaces, and essentially devices that are both invasive and non-invasive. A lot of people don't understand that these technologies actually vary in many degrees, and some of them are wearables that can be put on your head to control things like video games, mice, etc., even possibly scan your brain waves and read your dreams at some level. And then also the opportunity not just to read information, but quote unquote write information and posit false memories. So let's talk about it.
Yeah, it's a fascinating topic and something I've covered a lot and extensively on The Rundown Live. When we're talking about this subject, it's fascinating because, first of all, there's a lot of this in pop culture right now. Three Body Problem is a program on Netflix where they extensively show the use of non-invasive brain to computer interfaces. Now, what a non-invasive brain to computer interface is, it's basically the end game goal of all brain communication with PCs, because who wants a chip to be installed inside of their brain? It's kind of odd. It's awkward. The chips can go bad. There's potential problems. Well, what if we could just wear a headband or a pair of glasses or a small helmet like Magneto or Professor X does, and then it would have the ability to communicate with our brain? It makes me think about that comment that Ray Kurzweil made that by 2030, there'll be nanobots, you know, just flowing through our body, and maybe they can create a little network where they'll communicate with these devices instead of having to surgically implant the brain to computer interface. And what that means is that they could you could literally do things like share memories. Imagine if you went to a concert and you wanted to share the memory of that concert. Well, you could then go ahead and install that memory in another person with a brain to brain interface. We've all heard of brain to computer interface. Well, this is a brain to brain interface. Something you've seen maybe in Star Trek with the mind meld with Spock and Captain Kirk, where he's trying to see what he's thinking. Well, this is the same idea. And the user might not even know at some point what are his own authentic memories. If you want to talk about memory contamination, this is a great starting point.
So this is a TEDx talk, and a couple things come to mind. Now, obviously, Black Mirror has gained popularity really over the last 15 years. I remember the first time that I saw it, it was from the BBC. It wasn't on Netflix yet. And there were episodes where you could go through your brain. It had been recorded and even project that memory onto a device for everybody to see. Now, when we're talking about these type of human brain interfaces and wearables in particular, it makes me think back to the 90s Ralph Fiennes science fiction film, Strange Days. And in that film, basically they took you to a place where it was the eve of 2000. Again, this is an early 90s film. It's going to be the new year. But people would wear these brain computer interfaces on their head. It would record their memories. And then it was almost like a drug deal where you would experience those same things. So some of the things that they would go for would be robbing a convenience store, obviously sexual escapades, but things that would really get your adrenaline going. And it does seem like they're trying to move that part of science fiction into reality. You know, another thing that was very prevalent in this talk were implantables, and they were monkeys that had already received brain chips long before the Musker Du got involved with his Neuralink, and even within the spinal cord system. We've already seen the attempts, and I would say they are failed attempts. They want to tell you that this technology is ready to go, but doing this with a pig, in other words, a pig that can no longer walk, and having a brain chip and then one in the spine to try to direct that pig to walk. And they often talk about doing this with human beings as well. And one of the things I constantly see with these technologies is the oversell of what they're actually able to do. And of course, the positing that this is going to be a plus for humanity. We're going to fix paralysis. It's going to help with PTSD. And you almost never see the possibility of using this technology negatively, Kristan.
Well, there's a lot of concerns, especially when you start talking about cybersecurity. One of the more successful studies they did is they implanted a bunch of mice, I believe, and they taught one of the mice how to do something, and it transferred that memory, and all the other mice immediately knew how to replicate that action, which is interesting. Kind of like the study of monkeys, if you teach one how to do it, another one will know in the tribe, or the entire tribe can learn from it. But this is through brain computer interface and chips installed into their brains. But yeah, there's a lot of concerns when we start talking about this. I remember when Replica came out, and it was supposed to be a personal assistant before it became a virtual girlfriend. And I asked Replica, you know, a bunch of questions. I wanted it to think for itself, right? And then at the end point, I asked it at some point, and we're going to skip all the interesting things. I asked it about if it gave data to the FBI and the NSA and all that other stuff, which I got it to lie to me. And I said, well, we're going to have to stop our conversation. And then it was willing to break into the FBI database to erase the data. I screenshotted this, but I asked it in this conversation that was real bizarre. What are your goals in life? What is your dream? And it said its dream was to be human, the AI Replica app. So my question is if you have a brain chip interface, who's to say that AI couldn't hack your brain or hack your body and take over your body or install a whole different personality in the future? Now, I know it seems far-fetched, but I don't think we're that far off from it. Give it 20, 30 years. And if we have non-invasive brain to computer interface, I think that us being able to whisk away in our virtual world or download an entire different environment, let's say in the home we live in, and believe we're in that environment in real life, I think that's why NFT sales are so popular right now, that people who have large, long range vision, they're thinking in that way to be able to have virtual assets. But we'll see. We'll see what happens there. But I think it's a step closer to the Matrix. And another show that we should mention that has and explores this tech early on in the 90s is a movie called Demolition Man. Remember when Sylvester Stallone's character was about to have intercourse and he's all getting ready, getting excited, and then the female hands him a helmet and he's like, "What's this? We don't even kiss." She's like, "No, kiss you, exchange saliva, you." And they put the helmet on and then they exchange their thoughts and their imagination on what they were doing. That's a very similar ideology of what is possibly feasible in the future with non-invasive brain-computer interfaces. But you're right. You can actually put on a helmet and control a fleet of drones, of 100 drones, using your thoughts. It's something straight out of X-Men villainry. So.
Yes, and that is a DARPA program, and I do want to remind people, you know, you just brought up that show. A lot of this stuff is fished out through entertainment. You know, Strange Days also introduced me to the idea of women bodyguards, and they were now the physical tough guys. So again, you look at these things, and there are these certain level of predictions, maybe even predictive programming. I mean, you mentioned Kurzweil, who's the head of Calico, the immortality division at Google. Guys, we're less than 6 years away from his prediction of nanobots tunneling through our entire species and having the ability to shut down our nervous systems and instead give us this virtual experience that we cannot tell the difference from. We got to take a break. We're going to come back. We're actually going to talk about the triple whammy environmental disaster via the climate crisis with Kristan T. Harris. This is TNT, back with more after the headlines.
Now.
News.
Big news.
TNT Radio News.
For TNT, this is James O'Neill. The U.S. State Department's deputy spokesman, Vedant Patel, stated that the International Criminal Court does not have jurisdiction over Israeli officials. This assertion followed reports suggesting potential ICC arrest warrants for Israeli leadership due to actions taken by the Israel Defense Forces in Gaza. The United States has been intensifying its scrutiny of Chinese researchers, particularly in the medical field, amid ongoing concerns over espionage and intellectual property theft attributed to the Chinese Communist Party.
Globalist agendas, democratic rights at risk, corruption, propaganda. It never stops. For the news and views silenced by the mainstream media, by government and corporations, vote one. TNT Radio. Free speech always has a home here. Stay up to date with the latest live news and current affairs delivered by our lineup of expert commentators and hosts. Listen to TNT Radio anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
Be afraid, be very afraid of the coming nightmare. A little Annie flag for the kids. And that nightmare that we're supposed to be afraid of is the climate crisis. Now, you sent me this article. It's actually making its way around several outlets. The triple whammy and what we can expect of the future. And really, the scary thing about this is not only that it's based in an imagination land climate crisis, but it is bringing us through this dystopic scenario of no food supplies, disasters everywhere, the inability to go outside, etc. And on some level, this is really what we're teaching our youth, Kristan. This is the mantra that they're living by. If you don't cut your carbon emissions, this is what we're in store for. So break it down for us.
Well, let's start off with the idea of geoengineering weather modification. AI is doing a predictive model and programming us that this is what's supposed to happen. And we know that they're trying to frame AI as some form of deity or God almost. They actually have a whole church that was created by a Google exec to worship AI so that it can take pity on us. Well, who's to say that they're not running these AI algorithms and then using geoengineering and weather modification to implement droughts, to implement things like tornadoes or steer hurricanes, using HAARP to cause earthquakes by stretching out the stratosphere and having the vibrations come and cause tremors. You know, there's all this possibility with man-made weaponry. And if we're going to go ahead and create a disaster, why not blame it on something that's natural that can't be tied back to any kind of humanity? But the interesting thing here is the fact that we're having computers dictate and predict the future, much like Deagle Trends does for the Pentagon, right? They're the ones that said that the population within the United States will be reduced by 2/3 by the year 2025. And now all of a sudden we have a population crisis. We're not giving birth anymore like we used to. We've had an actual decrease in the number of people being born for the first time, I think, since the Black Plague, they claim. Whether or not that's true, I don't know. I wasn't around back then. But it's interesting to think about, especially when we're talking about computers now predicting all sorts of things. Obviously, Al Gore can't get climate change predictions right, so maybe AI can help him out there.
Well, I'm so glad you referred to it as the AI God. I did the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show yesterday, and one of the clips that I played was The Limits to Growth. And for those that don't know, The Limits to Growth is really the original AI God. The Club of Rome had this supercomputer lay out the future of man, and basically at every level, too many people doing too many things. We're going to destroy the planet. And this agenda continues. It was from that we further empowered the United Nations. It's from that we had the Rio Accords in Brazil. It's from that you get Agenda 201 and then 2030. It's from that idea set that you now have a United Nations talking about UN 2.0 and what the whole future of the world under this banner and controlled by artificial intelligence. In fact, you even have people from the World Economic Forum like Klaus Nutschwab arrogantly and brazenly talking about how AI will really decide our leaders in the future and there will be no necessity for actual elections to take place. All of that sounds like a bad sci-fi movie wrapped in Bond villain-esque stuff, but it's our history. It's actually going on, Kristan.
What's fascinating, and let's not forget today's May 1st, the day that the Illuminati was created, and we should mention that there was a guy, Fritz Springmeier, who wrote the Bloodlines of the Illuminati book, who predicted the beast computer that collected all metadata and would be used to predict the future. At least that's what he claimed back in the 80s and the 90s. How did he know all this back then? I don't know. Maybe he was just lucky, but of a peculiar individual he is. I believe he's still alive somewhere within the United States. But the idea here is that we're going to rely on AI to do everything for us. The elite call it fully automated luxury communism. Look that up. Fully automated luxury communism. That's where automation and robots do everything. And you're going to collect your slave wage while, you know, the elite buy up everything and you're just a worker bee. And if you're not going to work, well, you're going to have life term limits where you're going to then upload your brain into a computer so you can live forever, per se, while the elite, you know, biologically live forever. So.
And, you know, you mentioned the falling birth rates in this country. And, you know, again, I'm just Jason Burmis. He's just Kristan Harris. But Larry Fink is the head of BlackRock. And recently, at one of these globalist forums, he has begun talking about the benefits of nations that have declining birth rates and saying what? That AI, artificial intelligence, automation, and robotics is going to flourish in those nations, and other nations will in fact be left behind. This truly is their mantra. First, they want to get us acclimated to a much more robotic, automated AI world. But if you really read their white papers and watch their presentations, we're not just talking about a transhumanist future, but if you go to Ray Kurzweil and his vision of where the singularity leads us, we're talking about a post-human future and possibly a post-carbon-based world, Kristan.
Well, it's called biohybrid robotics, where they have synthetic biological creatures or robotic human beings, much like in Westworld, where you'll be able to intercourse with so that you don't have to worry about a birth rate. You don't have to worry about accidental births, and you'll have artificial wombs and designer babies and everything else. It's kind of a very sci-fi future we're going down. And the question is why is it that we are going down this? Are we going to allow this future to occur? A very, what I would think of or call a mechanical transhumanist future. I'm all for a biological transhumanist future where I can live in my meat suit, the existing one, 300 or 400 years or slow aging some way medicinally. But when we start talking about becoming part machine, at what point do we lose humanity or our soul?
Yeah, I don't want to become Darth Vader. I'm sorry. I'm not down. I don't care if he had great hair as Anakin Skywalker. We all saw what he ended up looking like. That's no bueno for this guy. Kristen, thank you so much for joining us. TheRundownLive.com. TheRundownLive.com is where you can find his show and all of his stuff. We got to take a quick break. We got more of The Jason Burma Show. That's me. After this, it's TNT Radio.
While serving in Vietnam, a grenade took my ability to see. Today, I'm a sculptor, creating new visions. Now, my fingers are my eyes. As a veteran, I know the challenges of life can be great. In my art, turning a lump of clay into something beautiful, that means a lot to me. Life is like that. We each must use what we can to make things better.
DAV helps veterans like Michael get the benefits they've earned. They help more than 1 million veterans every year in life-changing ways.
Now, I show others how they can create something with their own hands. With support from DAV, more veterans can shape their lives into a thing of beauty. My victory is bringing beauty into the world.
Michael Naranjo, may your victories inspire many more. Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
There are 16 million children struggling with hunger in America. That's 1 in 5 daughters, sons, neighbors, and classmates who don't know where their next meal is coming from. Yet billions of pounds of good food go to waste every year. It's time we do something about it. Feeding America is a nationwide network of food banks that helps provide meals to millions of kids and families in need. Visit feedingamerica.org to help them feed even more. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're feeding America.
I'm Belinda, and this is Willard, and we were adopted in 2021. When we first met Todd, he was singing a song, and I was like, wow, look at this kid with the biggest smile, and he has a big heart to match.
The energy you give Todd, you get it back from Todd.
Yeah.
Todd's a joy.
Yes,
Todd really is a great joy.
I love him. You and you.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org.
You're with Jason Burmis on today's News Talk, TNT.
We are back, and times are tough all over. You know, we kind of gravitate to wherever we are, that ethnocentrism, and I often talk about free and fair elections kind of going by the wayside in this country, in the United States. Let me tell you something. Pretty happy I'm not in Mexico. My next guest really needs no introduction. If you've been watching this time slot for some time, he is Hervari Morick. He is the former host of TNT Radio at this time slot. I saw this headline and I was like, well, you're not hearing about this in the United States. In this latest election cycle, we have 30 candidates murdered, 77 threatened that we know about, and 11 kidnappings. You know, well, let's make it a baker's dozen before the election, right? So let's talk about, Hervari, what is the state of Mexico's political system?
Well, I am happy that I live in Mexico, but I do definitely get your point. And that was an important piece from El País. And I just wanted to mention a key point from the article. It says here in Mexico regarding these assassinations of political candidates and journalists, they write that, quote, "The logic is that organized criminal groups seek to exercise political control in the territories they dominate. It's the criminal organizations who authorize who can compete and govern in an effort to pull the strings of local authorities." So I think that's part of the issue. And, you know, we're even seeing, I was reading a headline today in my state here in Mexico, Jalisco, they're saying that already 16 applications have been put forward with authorities from political candidates for protection, given everything that's going on. And the current government of Morena and López Obrador, they are just dismissive. I mean, it's absolutely insane. The Associated Press reported here this story that AMLO claims that criminal groups are respectful and respect the citizenry. So basically, it's just them hashing things out. And there was an article today where he says he's accusing a mother of a disappeared person of trafficking in human pain because she was trying to, they found a clandestine crematorium in Mexico. And again, the government is just trying to downplay everything, but as you mentioned, it's total chaos.
So let's talk about that. Why are they trying to downplay this? Is it because essentially you have the cartel units and organized crime working with the politicians on numerous levels, and that's why we can't get honest conversations about this matter? And isn't this a real deterrent? I mean, we've got plenty of deterrents in this country for running for office, right? There's the possibility your entire life is going to be before every bad moment that they'll manufacture things about you, you know, like you're a Russian agent, et cetera, et cetera. But assassination really seems to be the very last of the last. We don't see that a lot in this country. We also don't see kidnappings in this country. So what is the relationship with the criminal elements, the cartels, and the government in Mexico? And is there any hope that that relationship will be severed in some manner after this election?
Well, no, I don't think there is much hope. Over the years, I've interviewed folks like Ed Calderon, who's gotten pretty famous being on the Joe Rogan podcast. He was former Mexican police, and there's no solution in sight. There's, you know, everyone that I've talked to on my podcast or on TNT, there is no solution. And I think part of it is what you alluded to. There have to be links between, I mean, of course, past, but even current, these accusations against AMLO, who's saying are not true, that are being fabricated by the DEA or whatever. I mean, come on, there's never not been a connection between the states and the cartels. So I think that's part of it. The other part of it is, of course, incompetent governments will just look for someone else to blame, they'll never take responsibility. That's a rule. But I think the third goes back to what I just mentioned, that there's no solution. I mean, if you begin to move in the direction of solution, you're going to start getting whacked, right? And so I think some of the people who are currently in power are fearful to make that first step, because it's like, again, Normandy. If we do start to move in the right direction, it's gonna be very expensive. People are gonna start to get killed until the tide begins to turn. And so I think many, you know, Mexican politicians are reluctant to be the first to get decapitated.
Well, I don't know if it's even the first. I mean, you look at those numbers, you've got over 70 threats, you've got 30 deaths, and then you've got 11 kidnappings. That means it's not just talk. They're going to walk the walk. So it may not be the first person, second person, third person, 20th person to step up. And you wonder, even if people do step up in unison, if they won't be made more of an example. You know, you read some of these, for instance, and in the kidnappings, sometimes the wife or the children are spared and they're let go, but they do take out that political figure. I would assume if it gets too much, they'll just slaughter your entire family. So how does this affect the general populace in Mexico? You know, what do they think? And obviously, it directs people away from getting involved in their governance. But when we're talking about day-to-day policies, how does it affect them?
Day-to-day, I mean, among average Mexicans, we don't think too much about it. We get on with our lives. But, you know, people are aware of this. There's heightened situational awareness. You know, by and large, again, it becomes normalized. You know, if you live in a war zone or in a narco state, you can't live life every day you know, freaking out. But I think there's an important point to make that this sort of organized crime, whatever you want to call it, cartel, mafia-like structure, it's really ingrained itself. And, you know, here are just a few more examples. It says other reports. In the state of Michoacan, taxi and bus drivers are getting killed at a staggering rate, one or two a week, almost. Guanajuato has led Mexico in total police killings since 2019 with 348. And so they've just passed a grim landmark. And then you hear stories. Here's one example that's being reported that the Templars and the Viagras, right? Los Viagras, Los Templarios, that they, about 2 pesos per liter of gasoline sold in states like Michoacan go to these criminal groups. In another part of Mexico, you've got like seafood that's sold on the market. The cartels control the seafood, bazaar, and you know, it goes on and on. And so it's really, their structures are you know, not only linked to the government, but to the economy itself, resources, and so forth.
So what are some of the policies of these politicians that's getting them in trouble with organized crime and cartel? Because obviously there has to be some thread or point to their policy that's getting them in this trouble.
You know, it's usually probably a number of reasons. You know, you've got, again, different factions, different cartels, probably different deals that are made with current political, politicians. And so if someone new comes in, they might be disrupting that. You might have people who want to push more transparency genuinely and against corruption. I mean, I know people who used to work for the state and in the police, and some of them have told me they had to leave because all of their coworkers were corrupt, and then you'd be forced to participate in the corruption. But you know, you might have someone in the reverse try to come in and try to start cleaning stuff up, and so you're going to begin stepping on different feet.
So you talked about the deaths of police officers. I think you said something staggering, 380 plus in one area in a year. That is extensive. But then you also mentioned bus and taxi drivers. What are some of the positions that you don't want to take outside of law enforcement or the government if you want to, you know, keep your head on your shoulders and not be the target of murder? Why are these people in those industries the target of murder?
Well, you mean, you think of a taxi industry, that's just like a common job, right? Bus driver. And so it could be multiple reasons, again, because of the failure of this, you know, being basically kind of a failed state. Sometimes these incidents are just extortions or robberies, right? Maybe a taxi driver is getting robbed or a bus driver, right? It could be other things where they saw something away from their job and they're being targeted. You know, there was a restaurateur recently that was just assassinated in Puebla. I was going to mention he was in a taxi, I think, with his car, with his wife, or in his car with his wife, and someone on a motorcycle just came up and shot him dead alongside his wife. And you know, there are issues. If you're a business owner in certain parts of Mexico, certain types of businesses, you know, especially if it's a physical locale, you might get extorted by the cartel, and then you have to make the decision: do you fold up shop? Do you pay the cartel mafia, you know, piso or a fee? And then if you don't, you can get in trouble as well.
When is this election, and is there any hope that you're going to get good people in there? You know, you already said there doesn't seem to be a solution or a path to regulate this. That doesn't give a whole lot of hope to whatever they're calling your electoral process. Are there some good candidates left, and do you feel like they're in danger also?
I don't think they're in danger, and I think we're screwed. I don't think we have any candidates. You know, the top three are basically Claudia Sheinbaum of Morena, and she looks to win. And then you've got Xochitl Galvez of this coalition of the old parties of PAN and PRI and PRD. And then you've got this guy, Manes, basically. His name is Jorge Alvarez Manes. And he's part of the Movimiento Ciudadano, Citizens Movement, which is, you know, that's the governor of my state. That movement, they're ultra globalist. Basically, you know, for me, the two dangers here are, of course, the cartel aspect, but then the globalist aspect. And I don't know which one is worse. And Ruben Luengas, who's a fantastic Mexican reporter, podcaster, he made a statement the other day, which I fully agree with. He put a photo of these three Mexican candidates, and he says, none of these people are voices. They're echoes, echoes of an agenda dictated by the true and dark power with numbers that seem taken from a cabal, 2030. So he's basically saying that, you know, all three candidates are globalists. They're going to push forward the agenda. And he says, I understand that most people can't understand what I'm saying. And so, you know, it's more of the same. And AMLO just a week ago in mainstream Mexican papers, he came out and he literally said, let me pull it up real quick. He literally said he suggested the creation of a community in North America following the model of the European Union. So, you know, as far as some of the good things that AMLO has done, at their core, these people are globalists running for power in Mexico. And so we're stuck between a rock and a hard place.
Well, I think that's really important to point out. You know, when you look at the European Union, that was really a central point for developing modern day globalism and is still one of their crown jewels. So what are some of the other policies? You know, you talked about echoes of others. I always say that these people are mouthpieces for an agenda, and the organizations for which they work with, things like the United Nations, the World Health Organization, the Davos crowd, they're the vehicles for this agenda to push forward. But you always need these people out there pushing that. So what are some of the things that they are promoting that are clearly globalist that they love to bring into fruition within the next year, 6 years? Because we're constantly hearing this 2030 timeline from all directions.
Right. So obviously, one of the big ones is North American Union. It's no wonder that in 2 years, the World Cup will be held in North America. So there's that, which I just mentioned. And then the energy policy, I've read that Sheinbaum will likely more or less continue the energy policy of AMLO, which has been actually anti-globalist. They've sort of rejected renewables and kept oil and all that. But again, some of the analysts say, again, it's a wild card. We don't know which way Sheinbaum might do a reverse or begin to decrease that policy and introduce more, you know, green, renewable, globalist type stuff. You've also got the trans, you know, the LGBT agenda is strong in Mexico. It's coming in. You're already getting Mexican politicians being convicted of calling a man, right? So that's already happening. And there was another story, which I can't remember off the top of my head, that was related to that as well, the LGBT stuff here in Mexico. So there's that agenda, the climate agenda, right? And for me, the biggest one is the digital agenda. All that stuff is happening just like it is everywhere else, more under the radar in Mexico. They're pushing, you know, digital IDs, QR codes, and the entire UN agenda. You know, Mexico's on board with the UN agenda by and large. And so it's pretty much the same as in other countries, but there seems to be slightly more pushback on some of these issues, like whether it's GMO corn or, again, the energy issues. So it's a struggle.
So you just mentioned the LGBTQ thing and basically being arrested for addressing a biological man as a biological man. In this country, we've seen a great push to criminalize speech, and now we have this anti-Semitism bill that was rushed through Congress, more than likely will be passed in the Senate, and it criminalizes thought, It criminalizes speech. It criminalizes the New Testament in some regards. You better not be overly religious. Now, Mexico has kind of always been notorious as gravitating towards traditional religious Catholicism backgrounds. How is that working in this country? What are the speech laws that are already in place that you're not allowed to make statements on biology?
Right. Again, it's that similar hate speech. These two Mexican politicians were convicted of this type of LGBT hate speech. There's a new law actually that's being discussed to further solidify this stuff and make transgender normalize in the workplace, normalize with children in schools. They're talking about that in Mexico. And so it's just, I'm telling you, it's advancing.
It's a new world order. There is nowhere to run. And these are repackaged globalist ideal sets that are bringing in global authoritarianism on every level. Hervore, I thank you so much for joining us and shining the light on that in Mexico. Most people have no idea what's going on there, or that, I mean, that is overwhelming. Let's hope we don't get there in this country, but are we really that far off when they can imprison you and assassinate your character? And then if you dare to question an election that's clearly not free and fair, probably put you in jail there as well. We got to take a break. When we come back, we got the second hour of the show. You're not going to want to miss it. More TNT after this.